Spring has sprung in the Triad, and the Sharp team with Highlands Mortgage is springing into action to help you buy a new home. With the housing market heating up, the best time to act is now to get into a house by the summer. If you've been waiting to move or have questions about buying a home, you can rely upon the Sharp team to listen to your concerns, work proactively with you to find a loan that is right for you, and will take the very best care of you. Call the Sharp team today or just Google their website. When you're grilling on your new back patio or sipping tea on the front porch, you'll be very happy that you did.
Get started with an email to our friend Ashley McKenzie Sharp, ashley@sharploans.com, A-S-H-L-E-Y at sharp, S-H-A-R-P-E, loans.com, ashley@sharploans.com.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Top Tier Talks. We have Jimmy and Raya today for our 8th episode since we've re-picked up the podcast. Happy to have y'all here with us today.
So usually we like to start with what fitness means to you, but before we get even into that, just give us a little bit of a blurb about yourselves, what you do when you're not at the gym, professionally, maybe how you met, and then we can get into fitness from there.
Hi, I'm Jimmy. Been here for about 1 year now. On my free time, when I'm not outside the gym, I am usually knee-deep in some Japanese anime or video games or just researching tech things, just as a form of hobby. What I do professionally is I currently work in the social media casting world, so like Meta commercials, did something for Lyft at one point. That's what I kind of do currently, trying to make my way into the project management space because it's more sustainable. I'm currently studying for that. I have about 3 more classes left on a Google course. It's pretty fun. And we met about, it was 2018.
Almost
it was July, almost 5 years ago. The date exactly, I remember the date. It was July 22nd.
The way we met was through Hinge, the way that most people meet these days. But I remember specifically it was his mother's birthday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, how are you? I was messaging him, trying to be cool. And he's like, I'm actually celebrating my mother's birthday right now. Can we talk later? And I was like, okay. But we met up and honestly, we've been together ever since. We've had an amazing time. My name is Mariah, by the way, introduce myself. But I also work in reality TV and social media casting. When I'm not in the gym, I'm honestly usually laying in the sun with our cats. I really enjoy reading and I also watch anime.
Real quick, favorite anime movie.
Anime movie. Ooh. That's a hard one because I actually don't watch a lot of anime movies or see here. If I have to go with, like, I guess, you know, American animation, which Japanese still consider American animation anime, I'm going to have to, because anime is just short for animation,
yep.
I'm going to go for Into the Spider-Verse. That was a really fun,
Okay. Very
fun animation movie to watch, and I can't wait for the second movie to come out, okay. Which is like another year from now.
Yeah. It comes out. I'm really excited for that. It looked amazing. I'm obsessed with Tokyo Godfathers. It's a bit of an older anime movie, Yeah. But it's about like 3 guys that have to raise a small child that they found out in the snow, and it's hilarious. It's totally a comedy, and it's heart-wrenching. It's a really great time.
All right, so let's talk about fitness. So you've been here at the gym for about a year. Mm-hmm. You can delve into what fitness meant to you growing up, or maybe didn't mean anything to you growing up. Like, when did it become a part or something you wanted to delve into, and then what led you to reach out to us here at Top Tier? And I still remember y'all's first On Ramps with Chris.
Yes.
we had some, me and Melissa had some conversations, and then you became part of the 9 a.m. crew, and now you are as much a staple to my day as the 9 a.m. crew is, or the 9 a.m. classes in of itself.
Yeah. Growing up, my family was very athletic. My dad played football in college. My mom played volleyball in college. All my sisters currently are either playing basketball in college or going to college for lacrosse. Like, total sports family, and I was like that one weird kid that was doing speech and debate instead. So I went in the complete opposite direction. I was into the arts, and it's not that I didn't enjoy fitness, but I didn't really feel like I could compete at the same level as the people around me, so I kind of stepped away from it for a while. when we used to live in California, and there was a CrossFit gym, like maybe a 5-minute walk from our apartment. And I thought those people were crazy. I'd see them running outside. They had like the garage door open and everything. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll give it a try. So I did a 6-week trial with them. It was really expensive. I didn't like the culture because they were all like these buff athletes. And if I couldn't do what they were doing, like their workouts were insane. There were no modifications. I was like, this is not for me. But when we moved to North Carolina, I was like, I still want to do something that's not going to Planet Fitness, you know? So we did a Google search, and Top Tier has an amazing online presence. And I was like, I think this culture might be a little more inclusive. So we decided to give it a go.
Yeah. Well, your words exactly to that gym was, they're crazy.
Yeah.
some person told you if your knees aren't buckling, you're not going heavy enough, right?
Yeah. They were like, you need to be lifting until you don't, like, you shouldn't even be able to get it up. And I was like, I don't even know how to do this movement. I'm scared right now. Like, it was not I appreciate getting a chance to try working out with them, you know, but I like Top Tier a lot better.
Sierra, my journey with fitness has always been like, I always played baseball growing up. So about from 10 to, I was about 16 when I stopped playing, and then bowling was a predominant part of my life. But
so we'd get that.
Yeah. My idea of fitness was, cause I always had a really buff uncle. His thing was like, I'm fit. I can bench 250 plus, and he's like 235 all lean muscle. So my idea of fitness was always, if I'm not buff, I'm weak. So after I stopped playing baseball, I did gain a lot of weight. I gained about 40 pounds because I'm not moving as much, but I'm able to still throw my bowling ball. It's about 15 pounds given at the time, about 16 miles per hour, which is a decent speed for that level of control. But I never felt strong. I always felt, you know, like I'm labor intensive. My games are, I'm bowling for 3 hours a given day whenever I do bowl. And eventually my senior year of college, like, I'm gonna start working out again. So I just made up my own fitness plan of nothing but like body weight, push-ups, sit-ups, squats every day, 7 times a week for about 3 months. Didn't lose any weight, but I lost inches, and I gained some definition over the time. And then pandemic hit, where right before then, and we were going to LA Fitness back in California 6 days a week consistently, eating about 120 grams of protein a day, almost 3,000 calories for myself every day, and herself about 2,000 calories a day. I'm the one who made your meals. I know exactly how much we're in those things. And then we moved out here, and we tried doing Planet Fitness for the first couple months, but we were working 10-hour shifts. So from like, we'll wake up at about 9 a.m., get to work at 10, and end work at between 8 and 10 p.m. And so like, let's go to Planet Fitness, we can do this. And then one day we're just like, in the parking lot before we entered, they're like, I'm tired. Let's just go home. I don't want to do this. And it was pouring rain outside. And then she's like, I like CrossFit. I want to do it again. My mind, like, the stigma's still there. Like, these, you know, people are a few screws loose. You know, there's a bad association with them. And then found you all guys. I'm like, oh, these people are not that. And it was just really fun to be here and transform with you all, and just getting to know everyone. It's like, wow, everyone is just an average Joe trying to be the best who they can be, versus, you know, trying to convert a normal average Joe into a severe athlete in 3 weeks. And that's just, it's really fun to be a part of. And even the CrossFit Open, like, we can't really do it to the extent of what we can, but we tried it. We tried like the whole normalcy of it, and it's now a goal to be able to complete a given workout they assign next year. That's now a goal. And it's just like, that's fun. Yeah. It's fun now. And I'm thoroughly enjoying this new transition of fitness for myself. Is being able to still walk out like, I feel good today. I feel good.
It's interesting. Anytime we hear somebody's story, and again, I acknowledge that my roots are in CrossFit, but like, we unaffiliated, and I made that very clear to everybody. But I still value the competition of it. That's what got me into CrossFit in the first place. But it's the biggest thing. And I had a long conversation with a young lady this morning about, you know, not comparing yourself to others, or even necessarily to who you were in the past, because the past is gone. Like, who are you trying to be today? And I'm really sorry that you had that experience in California, because we get several people coming in here and have that experience. But it's interesting, like, the dichotomies within myself of dealing with CrossFit and all the stuff that happened in 2020, us remaining unaffiliated, and some other things that have happened to me and Melissa kind of individually. Just within relation to us unaffiliating from CrossFit and the things that have been said to us. But it is interesting, like, what you say, like, we are different. Like, what we do here is different. The way I program is different. The methodology that I bring to the table, while I learn from CrossFit, like, I want to always acknowledge that I learned from something, but then how I grew, not that I grew out of it, but that I grew into who I am, and I'm not, like, stuck, like, oh, what they said is the gospel, or what they said is this is the only way to work out. Because I know a lot of people that are like, oh, if you don't feel terrible after workout, then you didn't really work out. And I'm like, is that really true? Like, is that really true? Like, exactly. Like, is that really, like, and then, like, I do some of my own research, and it's like, oh, that's it's not actually true. Like, oh, then your eyes kind of, like, open up to everything. So it's just interesting anytime we ask these questions of people and they talk through. It's just always good for me to hear the story and perspective about things that I should be getting better at.
Yeah, and one of our core values is adaptability and growth mindset and always wanting to learn and be better and adapt. And I think that whether it was through, you know, we bought a gym and COVID, we just had to really pivot and adapt and not be stuck in a box or a certain model. So it's encouraging to hear that y'all noticed that Top Tier is different than some other places that you've been.
Oh, yeah. That easily was what made it stand out, was, like, being able to come in and there are modifications. Like, I came in not being able to do a push-up. I was still really, really scared of the barbell because I didn't know how to do snatches properly. And they were calling me out at the other gym. I was like, don't do it like that. I was like, okay. No, then I just didn't want to do it at all because I'm in class. And I'm, like, the only person not doing it correctly. So to be able to come in is, like, there are modifications. It's okay if there's a mod. Like, I think maybe the attitude behind, like, okay, let's acknowledge where you are right now. And if, you know what, your 5 out of 10 today might not be, you know, what it usually is. And that's okay. That's what I think has also helped us really be consistent too. Because maybe like the first 3 weeks when we first started, we were really sore. Really, I was like, oh my gosh, it's a lot. But
I woke up, I'm like, I can't stand, I can't walk. Yeah, and then we did that on and off for about 3 weeks. And then it was a lot of like, I can't do this today. Click, mm-hmm. click, cancel, yeah. cancel. Mm-hmm. And then you messaged like, hey, you missed a lot of classes 2 hours beforehand. Is everything okay? It's like, oh, right, this existed. I'm sorry. And that just kind of like just pushed us more to come more consistent. Like, okay, if it's not feeling good today, let's modify it. Yeah. Let's go a little easier.
Often
let's yeah.
It's better just to show up mm-hmm. consistently than to just wait till you feel like you're 100% or that you're, you know, gonna kill a workout or it's movements that you like versus you don't like, you know. So that was not meant to be a shaming check-in. It was just I just noticed, and so I was wanted to know that, are y'all okay? We want you here.
We kind of felt seen in a way a little bit. Like, we got COVID for a week where we were just completely out, and you reach out and you're like, hey, are you okay? It's been mm-hmm. a week. And I was like, oh my god, they care about us, they know that we're here, you know. And that felt really special because mm-hmm. also moving back to Winston, because I went to college here, mm-hmm. a lot of my friends and people I knew, they've since moved on. I've got my family, but we were still trying to build a new community. So yeah. to be in a place where, like, oh, people are going to notice if we're gone for 3 days, that felt really great to know that we had people that, yeah. like, wanted us to be in the community and wanted mm-hmm. to see us in class.
Yeah. We definitely want, I mean, some gyms, like, they make their money off of people not coming. I feel like Planet Fitness kind of banks on people yeah. signing up and not coming. But for us, like, we don't want you to be anonymous. We want you to come and reach your goals, invest in yourself, show up for yourself. So
I want to take a quick break from this show to do two things. One, we'll say thank you for listening and supporting the Triad Podcast Network. Just listening to this episode is appreciated. Second, I want to ask that you support a local business that supports us as a presenting partner, a real estate company we trust, the Ginther Group, located in Winston-Salem. Right now, in the spring, the housing market is moving fast. You need someone you can rely on to assess your situation, read the data and trends, and steer you in the right direction. Interest rates, inventory, new construction, there are so many factors that impact our local market. Don't buy into the national internet headlines. Get the information from the folks right here in our neighborhood. Contact Blake Ginther and the Ginther Group today. Whether you're buying or selling, have cash or not, or if your home isn't in the ideal condition for selling, chances are they have a solution for you. Call 336-283-8689 or visit theginthergroup.com. Buying, selling, investing, or just learning, whatever you need. Start now, and like me, you can become a Ginther Group client for life.
Talk to us about this bowling.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So bowling was always like a fun enigma to me because I grew up maybe a mile away from a bowling alley, for the most part of my life, basically all of my life. Well, I always told my dad, hey, Dad, when can we go bowling again? Like, I remember this vividly, like 9 or 10 years old. When can we go again? When can we go again? And I guess at one point he just stopped and he's like, here's a weekly thing. Let's go try it. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's try it. Most people there when I first showed up were about 6 years older than me. They're like graduating high school almost. And they were like amazing, like throwing the ball consistently. It was spinning. It was changing shapes down the lane and getting strikes all the time. Here I am, this 10-year-old, like, I have a 8-pound yellow ball that was right here on the rack. Let's see what I can do. And that's when I first learned that I don't have to use bumpers anymore. I can, if I throw it at a certain spot on the lane, I can hit the pins. And then from there, it just grew. Got my first ball when I was about 12 or so. It was actually my mom's old ball, I believe. So we just had it resealed and re-drilled for my hand. I did my first tournament when I was about 12 or 13. My dad was like, all right, cool, you're a little better now. It's like time to compete against California. I'm like, cool. there was a few. I always did the city tournaments, which was this like the immediate area of like 20 cities, and see how you compete in there. And then state is all of state of California. And I did go to Las Vegas every now and then for a sort of fun competition. They did what's called a Pro Bowl. So like a lot of pro bowlers will come out here and the youth will bowl with them. So it was really fun. So like every lane had a pro bowler as their fourth player. And then every 6 frames, the pro bowler will shift. So every kid got to see, cool, like, do I get to meet my hero, my bowling hero for today? It was just really fun to see, you know, like they were really nice to us. They gave us tips. It was just actually really fun to see them just throw the ball 20 miles an hour and still move down the lane and get a strike. And here we are just mesmerized by the sheer amount of bowling balls they have and how fast they're going. Like, that's cool. And here we are just struggling to get a strike compared to them. I ended my bowling career officially at about 20 because I aged out. Their aging out is 21 years old, and I don't want to compete against 40-something-year-olds in an adult league, pay twice as much on a weekly basis, and then gamble my money away. Like, I don't want to do that. So I ended at about a 190 average. My highest average ever was about 228. Held that for about 2 weeks, and that was just really difficult. I was like 16 at the time. Like, I can't do this. It's only because I offset with an insanely high game of 274. I only messed up on 3 shots out of the whole game. And I was like, oh, I'm disappointed, but that's the highest game I'm ever going to get. I'm not complaining. Me and my brother, so in bowling, there's about 3 events. There's a single event, you bowl on your own. There's a team event, which is a team of 4. And then a doubles event, which is you and one partner. Me and my brother always played doubles. We always ranked top 5 in the state of California at the time. People knew our names, or at least had our in names. We once changed leagues, and they're like, oh, I know exactly who you are just by your name. I'm like, cool. Ever since then, bowling has always been trying to be a fun recreation for me. If I'm not bowling 150, I'm not disappointed. I am upset. If I bowl 150, I am very happy. Anything over that, I'm like, yippee. But 150 is usually about my happy place, when I'm like, I'm not struggling, I'm having fun. It's just a fun game to me at this point. And like, I have all my gear here. I just brought it back over here from California, maybe in about December. I don't want to put the money for it to have it resealed and re-drilled. I just don't want to do that yet. But that's an eventual goal for me. Maybe join a league eventually when I have more time. When I have more time. Yeah.
Because you all have a big thing coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah, so we're getting married in, oh God, what is today, the 9th?
I think it's exactly 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's Yeah, it's about 22 days away. according to my math in my head, it seems about 22 days away. Mm-hmm. And it's very exciting. Everything's planned already. Everything's almost paid off. Mm-hmm. We have about 4 vendors left to fully pay.
Yes.
And then tomorrow will be 2 because we're paying off 2 in full tomorrow. But yeah.
Have y'all gotten all the RSVPs back? I know you were waiting to...
Yeah, we got all of them back. So just because of the fact that a lot of his family is coming from California and my family's kind of scattered throughout, we didn't get everybody that was able to attend, but we're going to try to live stream the wedding for people who couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a little smaller than I think we originally anticipated, but that's ultimately also kind of nicer too, because mm-hmm. that means that, you know, the people that really care about us are going to be there and that are part of our lives, you know, and so that'll be fun. Because in the beginning, we were getting people who I'm like, I haven't seen this aunt since I was 6 years old, and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm excited about the wedding. Of course, I'm gonna take that whole week off. I'm like, I don't remember your last name. Who are you? And you know, since then, it's kind of whittled down to like, okay, the family that we maybe have better relationships with are coming, so it will be nice.
Yeah. No, I asked for one thing. And one thing only, and that was a taco truck, and we got a taco truck. Okay. And I'm doing a little something special for myself. Mariah bought me a very nice bottle of Japanese whiskey on our 3rd anniversary, which was also the day I proposed to her. And I haven't touched it since. It's been 2 years now, almost, and that is my first drink that I will open up and have on that day, is that bottle of whiskey that she bought for me.
It was so sweet, too, because I'm like, oh my gosh, you gave me a ring for this anniversary. I've got like a bottle of whiskey. Totally not comparable, but it was hilarious because that day, I truthfully did suspect. I was like, okay, we've been dating for 3 years. It could happen, but he was really adamant the week before. He's like, I want to go to this this tea and macaroon shop in LA, and I want to go first thing in the morning. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I've got work first thing. I'm going to have to like put time off and stuff. He's like, I really want to go in the morning. We never do anything nice in the morning. I was like, ah, it's our anniversary. Why not? He proposed at like 8:53 in the morning, which I was not expecting. I was like, okay, maybe dinner. I could see that. Yeah. But he caught me completely by surprise. It was maybe one of like 3 times in my life that I've been genuinely speechless.
Yeah, it was fun because right outside the area, there's a cactus garden, and I used her love of cacti against her. There's a beautiful giant cactus tree. I'm like, look at the tree. I'm going to get you a picture of you looking at the tree. And then from then, I did take a picture of her looking at the tree. But I used that whole time to set up, getting the ring out of my backpack, getting on one knee. And as she turned around, I was just ready right there, popped with the ring wide open. And she was speechless for like a solid minute. And I was just getting like, is she okay? Is she having a stroke? Please don't die on me.
My mom jokes me all the time. She's like, how are you just looking at a cactus that long? I'm like, you have to understand, I really like cactus, Mom. We don't have them in North Carolina. Yeah, so to see, like, it's a cactus garden. How cool is this? And meanwhile, he's waiting on one knee.
That was a fun day to plan. It was a really fun day to plan.
And the wedding is on April 1st.
April 1st.
Come to find out, y'all enjoy pranks.
Yes. Yeah, we have at least 3 pranks planned for that day. One of them is with the wedding favors. Luckily, none of our family knows about this podcast yet, so they won't hear that the wedding favor is actually a prank.
We're going to do a little funky thing with the music, of walking down the aisle. It's going to be like, because I had to do a little bit of audio engineering, so I'm going to like make it seem like I'm playing like a rap song, and then it's going to skirt, and then people are going to think it's like a technical difficulty, and then we'll start out with like, the actual music that we plan. Just little fun things like that, because everyone knows us. We're just kind of easygoing. Don't take ourselves too seriously usually, so it'll be a good time.
And the wedding's here? Local?
Yeah, it's here in Greensboro.
Okay.
It's the Blandwood Carriage House. It's the former governor's house, like historical governor's house. And it's, for those who are listening and need a wedding venue, it's relatively inexpensive. During the week, it's like $1,500, and on the weekends, $2,500. Okay. Compared to $10,000 on many places. It's that was like our issue finding a venue out here. It's like, let's do a winery. $10,000 starting, without any alcohol or catering.
Just for the space.
Just for the space. Oh, and then open fields were like $5,000, and churches were another $7,000. I'm like, we don't have this kind of money. Who has this kind of money?
If you've got like an open 3 to 5 acres just that you're sitting on, you should turn it into a wedding venue. Honestly. People pay for it.
Yeah. If your house sits on half an acre, use your backyard. It's big enough.
I was going to ask how you feel, this is shifting gears back to fitness, but how you're, like, when you started, kind of what were your goals? And then since you've been here for almost a year, how those goals have shifted and moving forward, what your fitness goals are?
I can start out. I think, because I remember when I did our first onboarding with Chris, he was like, what are your goals? And I was like, I don't even really know what goals mean. I just want to like lose weight and look really good. Like those were, I think those were my only goals that I even gave him. But I really didn't even have an idea of what my body could do or what I was capable of. So just being able to come here and see like, oh, you can actually lift weights and you can go heavy. You can, I hate running, but you can run, you know? And so I think just in the year of being here, my goals have definitely shifted less from the strict like appearance and being set on a certain number. Like if I don't weigh this, then I failed in life, you know? And now it's shifted more to like, I want to have a really good time for the Murph, you know? I think last year it was like 55 minutes and I'm like, I can cut that by 20 minutes. I feel like I can do it, but that's like a genuine goal that I have, or like slowly just trying to build up with weights. And so I think my goals have really become more about what I can push my body to do now that I know that it's even like remotely capable.
Yeah.
And that's something I would have never learned without really just taking time to be here and respecting the process. And we do build, but we do it slowly. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not making these giant gains right away. And I think that that's helped it be more sustainable for us. I'm like, okay, I'll live if I can't lift like 50 extra pounds tomorrow. I'll build there in time.
Yeah, that's a good perspective.
Yeah, fully agree. Because like when we did our onboarding, my main goal was I want to build muscle. That was it. I'm like, thinking back, like, that was such a, I guess, newbie answer, which is fair. I was a newbie back then.
Chris was nice to us.
Chris was very nice. He looked at me and was like, okay. And so now, like, evolving, it's like, been here, you're like, huh, I never thought I can do this movement. I've never seen any of these movements before. Like, I never seen what clean was, a snatch was. The only thing I knew about, like, barbell curls, tricep presses, pull-ups, those are basically, like, my extent of fitness knowledge. And, like, now my goal is be able to lift my body weight on like cleans and snatches. Like it's taken me all year to get there, but I never thought I can lift my body weight before. Never thought I could do that. But now it's a very realistic goal of mine. And like I want to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Don't know why, I just do. Because according to, you know, government research and whatnot, that a healthy person should be able to lift their own body weight. I'm like, that's a stretch, I think. Maybe half, but you know, realistically speaking, half, but I want to be able to lift my body weight. And I think I can do that by the end of this year. That's now my new goal. And from transitioning from like just build muscle to, you know, I want to do this particular thing I want to do. If I look good in the other process, I look good. If not, my insides are healthy. That's all I really care about now. What my blood work says and all that stuff. If everything's in like normal level, I am peachy keen.
That was another really big thing for us. Prior to coming here, you know, Jimmy, he did have cancer, and that was a big scare. I think it was maybe the first time either one of us realized, like, you might not be healthy forever. And so being able to come here and just feel good with our bodies, and like we wake up every day and like there's a drastic difference from a year ago of just how we feel and being able to walk around and having stamina for things and just realizing that this is really affected just our everyday living has been invaluable. You know, you can't pay for that, honestly.
Have you ever come not together?
Yes. I have. And she has too. There's one time I did hurt my back a little bit. I went too heavy on a squat and then I just dropped her off for a whole week. I decided to walk the whole downtown area for a whole week. Mm-hmm. I did maybe 7 miles in the morning for an hour every day. I healed. And then when she's out of town, I come by myself.
Yeah.
So there is a time when we do show up separately.
Yeah. It's just, but I like that y'all, I mean, y'all,
it's a bit of motivation.
It's grounding for all of us when it's like, if Jimmy and Mariah are not here, we're like, what is happening? But is it motive? Because some couples do not want to work out together, but it sounds like y'all are able to motivate each other. And but you don't work out together. You're in separate spots in the gym.
Yeah, we're in separate corners. And what really motivates is like when we look in like our corner of our eye, we're like, I don't feel good today. And then like seeing one of us do something heavier or more clean, like, God damn it. Now I got to do that. So it's more of a spiteful encouragement?
It's very much a spiteful encouragement. It's like when we get up in the morning, like even today, I was so tired. I was like, I don't want to go. And I rolled over. I'm like, are you going to go to the gym? He's like, yeah, I'm going. I was like, oh, well, now I have to come with you. And so that's how we motivate each other. Yeah.
It's a good balance. The day that's probably not good is if both of y'all are like, no, we don't want to go. But it seems like one of you wants to come or the other one wants to come.
Usually what happens.
Yeah. No, you're coming in earlier for the sauna.
Which we love.
Love it. Yeah, like after my whole journey with cancer, after my two surgeries, I've had issues with my right leg, some circulatory issues. Like my lymphatic systems like to pile up and just stay in my right leg. Mm-hmm. So that sauna has helped me a lot with the fluid flowing properly and like creating new pathways to flow. And like my leg is genuinely less swollen now. Like, I don't feel pain or discomfort anymore for the past month or so since we've been using it. It's really been a great addition to the gym and basically to our well-being. Mm-hmm. It's nice, especially during the winter when it's cold. Like, this sauna is great for just like, it's nice and warm.
Yeah. Plus, there's Netflix in there. So
that's also true.
That's how we watch our shows. We just watch them first thing in the morning. It's great.
I know, when I walked in there the other day and y'all were in there, I didn't know what it was you were watching, some anime.
Yeah,
there.
Probably.
Yeah.
Quick break from the show to get serious for a moment in my serious voice. For real, though, it's time to get serious about your financial future. It's never too early, but it could be too late to get started. And that's oftentimes the hardest part, getting started. How much do I save? Where do I invest? Do I save for college or retirement? How much for each? And who do I talk to about it all? Okay, we'll keep things simple for now and help you answer the last one. We recommend you begin with a local financial advisor. And that's Jennifer Johnson of Three Magnolias Financial Advisors. She'll sit down with you for a complimentary introductory consultation and go over all of your questions. Get started on the path to achieving your financial goals. Visit 3magnoliasfinancialadvisors.com or call 336-701-1600. Get comfortable with your financial future. 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors, retirement, financial planning, and investments.
Listening to people talk about their journey and coming in with essentially what are aesthetic goals, build muscle or see a certain number on the scale, and then realizing, like, well, to a certain degree, the scale is important. It's definitely not the end-all, be-all. Like, how do you feel in your own skin? And then what can you do with your own body? Like, the realization that, oh, I'm not going to be young and perfectly fit forever. Like, that hit me a few years ago, starting with those knee surgeries. And it's just like, okay, what can I do for me so that I can show up for my daughter? Like, my daughter does not care how much I clean or snatch or how many pull-ups I do. Cool, like, can you play with me? Can you pick me up? Can you carry me in when I fall asleep in the car? So it's just interesting hearing different people talk about like what fitness meant to them throughout growing up, then what they perceived it to mean to them coming into the gym, and then how, I don't want to say we've influenced it, but just how we've changed potentially people's perspectives to be more broad. Like, what your body can do is a lot more important than how it looks. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that, quote-unquote, may look really, really good, but how healthy are they? Mm-hmm. You know, that's are they living a healthy lifestyle, or are they freaking out because their macros were off a little bit? Or are they freaking out for whatever other reason? So not only like the physical health, but then the mental health that it gives you too. Like, talking about most days you leave here and you feel good now. Like, yeah, you're sore in the beginning, but then it's with any new stimulus. Like, it's hard to know what a 7 out of 10 is when you've never done a 7 out of 10 RPE before. So then you realize very quickly, it's like, okay, so that was not a 7 out of 10. I need to modify this. But then coming in here and moving, even when you don't necessarily feel like it, whatever that motivation is to you, it's just really cool to hear people's stories, to playing off of each other. Oh, you going in the gym? Yeah, I'm going in. man, I got like, because at the end of the day, you know, Arun, who is he's an eye doctor, and like his goal, he just wants to come here and be healthy. He doesn't care how much he lifts, doesn't care. Like, he's like, I think doing higher intensity workouts are healthier for you as long as you stay within your means. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be here for my kids. So it's just really cool, like, hearing different people's perspectives and how that has changed over time and will continue to change with time. You know, one of your goals is to be able to do one of the open workouts next year as prescribed, or as directly as written, whatever that
whatever they decide to write, they're just shooting darts, right?
But it's pretty cool to think like that change, just build muscle to like, okay, what can I want to be able to take a new movement standard or whatever it may be, and I want to be able to perform that exactly as written, and still hit the intended stimulus, which again goes back to like, what is functional fitness? And everybody has their own definition now. It's like a buzzword. Like, functional fitness is something that helps you get out of bed in the morning and makes you feel better about yourself and have less pain through your daily activities, and where you're like, oh, if I do that activity, my back's going to hurt for a week. It's like, okay, well, why is that? Like, I think y'all have probably heard me quote Dr. Steffi Cohen before, the lady that has the world, like, there's no such thing as bad movement, only unprepared movement. And it's just really, for me, it's really rewarding hearing people's journeys and thinking about all the little, like, micro impacts we have, not only like me as the coach on y'all, but then y'all continually showing up like, well, they showed up, Ben, what are you gonna do today? Because like, you need to be the example. So many coaches or gym owners are like in the space and lose sight of themselves, and like, I don't mean to be rude, but like, gravy poured into a Ziploc bag and somebody let it sit out overnight, and it's like, you're not taking care of yourself. I mean, yeah, obviously, like, I openly admit that I enjoy a good whiskey. But I know that it's part of the balance for me is I'm not trying to be the fittest in the world anymore. I'm trying to be the best version of myself to show up, not only for me, not only for my daughter, but then for those people that are members at our gym. So it's just cool and very rewarding for me anytime I get to sit down and have this conversation, to be introspective, to think about like what the impact that we are having on people.
And we definitely, I think that's something that we take notice of. It's part of why we like love the 9 a.m. class. Not only does it like work the best for our schedule, but we love having you as a coach, honestly. And it means a lot to us to hear like, oh my gosh, his knee is hurting today. What? He gets pain too? Like, that was a thing like early on. I was like, oh my God. Because like, you see people and they look a certain way and you just assume like they must have no problems in life. They must never struggle with anything. Because I can't imagine like being able to do any of the things that they do. And so being able to have those honest conversations and admit like, you know what, I wasn't really feeling it this week, or we're going to like take it a little bit slower and deload. Like, all of those things just kind of helped, I don't mean it like this, but to humanize fitness a little bit. Cause like I said, we weren't on that level, still not on that level, but it makes us feel like it's something that we're capable of doing, and that it's not this like superhuman idea that we're never going to reach.
You know, I mean, I think a lot of, and then gym owners, and I'm overgeneralizing here, so I want to be very clear for anybody listening that I am. This is a general statement, does not apply to every gym owner, but they want to be like, oh, well, I never hurt. Like, I'm, you know, okay, well, like, are you human? Are you a robot? Sorry, what do you mean you never hurt? But it is, you're right. People assume these things. Oh, you move this, or you lift a certain way, or you look a certain way. It's like, no, like, I'm human. You're human. Like, can we see this as a person? Just, you know, everybody. Like, if you put me to work into social media or contracting or casting, I'd look be like a fish out of water. Like, it's not my arena. So it's just interesting to me the way we. Not that it's a bad way, the way we stereotype people, and then like what we do here, you know, part of it is, you know, our members, coaches feel known, seen, and heard. That, for us, that is what we are kind of defining here in the gym as inclusive. And again, it's not for everybody. Like, if somebody's looking to compete, if they come in here and have a consult with Melissa, and they're like, I want to compete, I want to be the strongest I can be, and it's like, you know, like, you can do that here, but let's be very clear. Like, there's probably a gym about 2.5 miles north of here that's probably going to be a better fit for you. And that's okay. Like, that's not, like, we're not changing what we do. And that's not to say that I don't still love to compete. But, like, I love to compete with myself now. Like, what can I do and do it in a healthy manner so that my life, like, when I leave the gym for the day, I can't go home and be like, well, sweetie, my knee, my back, and my shoulder hurt today. I can't go down the backyard and play with you. And I'm not saying everybody does that at all that are competing in fitness. So it's just, yeah, it's just always good for me to just sit down with these conversations and think about what we're doing well, and what can we do better, so that when you do come in here that first week, that you can get up the next day like, hey, like, really sit down and have that conversation, Like, okay, like this is what a 7 out of 10 RPE is, or this is how you should feel. Now, you're going to be very sore tomorrow, but you should be able to walk. So what are we doing? Are we making sure that we're talking to you enough about nutrition? Just a little bit like, hey, are you getting enough salt or, you know, electrolytes in your diet, especially tonight? Are you going to eat well? So having that conversation, especially for somebody's first week here, like it's easy for me to like, oh, this person has it. Like, I don't want to beat a dead horse. I don't want to sound like, oh, I know everything in the world about nutrition, because I don't. But like having that conversation, but hey, like just make sure like we're taking care of you the first week that you're here, so that you're not like, hey, like you need to be here. Because if you're not here, like people come in and they have these goals and they show up once a month.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can't help you if you're not here, you know, 3-4 times a week. Like you're not. So again, it goes back to feeling known, seen, and heard, and that it's really a two-way conversation.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I appreciated what you said about that. I mean, because we want our members to feel known, seen, and heard, but us as well, right? That we want to feel known, seen, and heard. And part of that is us sharing and being vulnerable, whether it's about a lot of reason why I do fitness is to manage my anxiety, or, you know, Ben talks about his mental health stuff with the cold plunge. And so we really, in the same way that we want y'all to feel known, seen, and heard, we want to show up too and be human. And because this space is important for us for the same reasons as it is for y'all. So
we thoroughly enjoy it. Everyone who we see walk through the door is genuinely happy. Sure, they're, you know, on the floor crying after a workout sometimes, but they get up and like, I feel good.
Yeah.
And they're genuinely happy. Like, unfortunately, today's workout with the cardio, with those calories were something else. But I walked out like, I did it. Yeah. I feel good. Time to move on with my day.
Yeah. The members, that's another, like, everybody who comes through, and they're consistent, they're encouraging, they're constantly, like, I'm always learning new things from the people that come in the 9 a.m. class, or, like, share videos, and nobody's, like, pushy. Like, if you want to sit in a corner, because I did that in the beginning, I was just, like, in my little corner, and I was, like, I don't know anybody, I can't remember names for the life of me. Like, it took me, like, a month, I think, to learn certain names, but everyone is so kind and so just willing to, like, hey, you're here. I'm happy you're here. And it's a really great space to be in.
Well, we're grateful for y'all and your membership and the way that you show up and invest in yourselves every day. And thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having us.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.